T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bottom line is, do you make the plays at the end of the game to win the game? Defensively, we did, absolutely. Offensively, we put together a couple nice drives to go down and get a touchdown and really should have had points there at the end. Unfortunately, there was a critical mistake there, but put ourselves in position to win that game, go and win that game in the fourth quarter. And that's what it's all about. You know, that's what the great teams find a way to do, despite what happens in the previous three quarters or maybe the mistakes that were made, just making the plays you need to make to win the game. A win is a win. And the way that we fought in the fourth quarter, you know, the way we put together two really good drives there in the fourth quarter to go down and get a touchdown and get to the 2-yard line. And then defensively, they came up with some great stops as well. Man, everybody just kind of bear down and go get the win. Win in a lot of different ways. Battle tested. You know, listen, these last 2 weeks, we've had to win in the fourth quarter. Had to come back and win in the fourth quarter. On the road, divisional games. I mean, listen, those are going to be hard fought. Those are going to be tough. And I think, again, the great teams find a way, right? They believe. They feel like we're all going to step up. We're going to do this together. Somebody's going to make a play. You know, we're going to take that momentum and we're going to turn it into a victory.
Drew Brees, Saints quarterback, on a New Orleans ugly 12-9 victory last night against Carolina. That wasn't a Picasso. What would Cower say that wasn't a
Rembrandt, maybe? Did he throw Rembrandt a work? I don't know. I feel like he would say Rembrandt, but
no, I think he got it wrong once and said that wasn't, and he didn't name an artist. He named
like
a musician.
That wasn't a Ray Charles we just painted back there.
That wasn't a Beethoven last night. And that's
named
what's
an
on
author.
Tap.
That wasn't a Hemingway.
Brought to you by Fatheads Brewery. Breeze. So this is what great teams do. They find a way. They win ugly. They knock Chris out of the fantasy football playoffs, that sort of thing.
Oh, we're talking about that later. That was garbage. Yeah, they cost me another victory in what is now suddenly a very interesting shame bet.
The Saints, dozen points last night. That's the fewest they have scored in a Drew Brees win ever since he landed in New Orleans. 12 points. The last three games for Brees, they've gone 2-1. But in those games, he has 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Are the Steelers catching the Saints at the right time?
They're not catching them in the right place, which feels like the more apropos thing to bring up here.
Did you watch that game last night in addition to watching your fantasy team lose on a technicality? Were you thinking to yourself, you know what? The Steelers can go in there and beat this team.
I think the Steelers can beat them for the sole reason that I do think when the Steelers click correctly offensively, when the Steelers quarterback, when Ben Roethlisberger plays his best, he can put up 40 points on somebody, which is probably what it's going to, which it still might take to beat them. I did not feel like I was taking too much out of what happened in that game. The game that actually made me think maybe the Saints aren't all that in a bag of chips was Dallas, because that happens in more in a dome environment, and they're getting taken to the woodshed a little bit by Dallas physically.
But it's the Thursday night road
team. I understand
curse.
That. I understand that, but they're still good enough that I would have given them benefit of the doubt there. Last night made me feel like it was the classic desperate team versus team that is better than them. And you could argue that the Steelers and Patriots was that, and that the Panthers just came up short because they're atrocious offensively and Newton's shoulders banged up. The Saints look a little fallible. You know, it's an interesting stat in the NFL for me. After the November 19th, coincidentally my son's birthday, Chiefs-Rams barn burner. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know how much scoring is down by? I think I saw Mark Cabali tweet this. Combined scoring in NFL games is down, on average, 19.9 points per game in the aftermath of that game. Is that not a stunning figure to you? That there is just this sea change in how teams are or are not scoring? The Saints have been an A1 victim of it. I think they're going to score at least 30 points, though. So the question you have to answer is, can the Steelers score like 35 points in the dome? Can the Steelers probably get to the fourth quarter with a lead because the Saints sit on the ball better than anybody in
so
the fourth quarter?
So you're not believing that the Saints' offensive woes the last 3 weeks, 10 points against Dallas, 12 points last night, is going to travel back with them to the Superdome.
No, I don't think
so.
It will.
They average 38 points per game at home this year.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't lost at home since week one when they got upset by Fitzpatrick in Tampa.
Still scored 40 points in that game.
Right. So they have ripped off five straight wins at home. All of these offensive woes, Breeze's numbers last night, 25 of 35, no touchdowns, a 69.1 passer rating. All three of these games came on the road. So they had a rare three-game road streak here late in the season. They went 2-1. So you're saying the offense is going to go back to New Orleans and go back to being the number one offense in the NFL?
Feels like
okay.
It.
Okay. Fair enough.
Do you buy that or no? Well, you don't sound like you buy it.
Oh, no, I buy it. I think I know that optically or aesthetically it wasn't pretty last night. I think we watched the best team in football play last night. I think that is the challenge for the Steelers on Sunday, that they are playing, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL in a place where they're pretty much invincible. And that's why I don't have very high expectations for this game. If they go in there and they're competitive, if it's a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, I'm going to give the Steelers a lot of credit. They can lose that game on Sunday, and as long as they're in the game, I think I'm going to come out of it feeling okay.
I would agree with that sentiment. Like, when you're putting that, if we're searching for a bar here, that's a pretty good bar.
If they cover the 5.5-point spread, they did a good job in this game.
I would say that's fair. You know what's a problem for the Steelers in this game? The Steelers aren't very good suddenly. Like, the one area they looked bad was against the run against New England. New England's ripping off 6-7 yards at a time. New Orleans, for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe it's because of Breeze's greatness, you just don't talk about it. I know you brought it up yesterday. They run the ball and stop the run better than pretty much anyone in the NFL.
They remind me in that way of the 05 Steelers team.
A little bit.
Where teams could not move the ball
it.
On the ground against them, and they had running backs like Parker and Bettis that could.
But people don't talk about them in those terms because of Drew Breeze. And the weird thing is, Michael Thomas is a freak. Like, you talked about how Gronk is not himself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Thomas is an elite player in his prime right now, entering his prime probably. He's going to get his. They're going to be able to run the ball. This game feels like a classic. If the Steelers go down there and Roethlisberger shows he can still move the ball and put up a lot of points on them, even if they lose, I would say they probably ended up playing a good game. You know who played the best game in New Orleans against them all year? The freaking Browns. I would
21
argue.
21 points?
21-18. And it should have been a Browns win.
Yeah.
The Browns blew that game, but they played New Orleans better than anybody did. But that was months ago, before they kind of metamorphosized into this absolute hammer on offense where they can just run Ingram or throw Kamara out there and crush you.
We buried the lead. That's not even close to the biggest story going with the Saints right now. The story with them is that their defense now all of a sudden has been one of the best in the NFL. For the last 6 weeks, they have held opponents to 17 points or fewer. That is, now listen to this. No one thinks of, we just talked about two things that people tend to forget about with New Orleans because they're a Breeze indoor
team. Yep.
Run game and defense. The last six games, 17 points or fewer, no other team in the NFL has done that this year. The next closest is four.
They sort of remind me of what the Patriots are most years. Everyone talks about Brady and Belichick, and they get the headlines, and yet a lot of years, even when Brady has been pretty good, the Patriots are a running game hammer, they're invincible at home, and then they usually go through a patented stretch where no one scores more than 20 points on them. I don't know if the Saints are the best team in the NFL. I would have said the Rams, but they look like they're a mess right now. The Saints are a classic example of how important home field can be because I wouldn't pick anyone to beat them in their own building.
You would be hard-pressed right now. I'll tell you what,
I think the Chargers might be a
better
team than
them. Hold on, this is going to sound crazy. Let me put it this way. If you gave me the Saints and I gave you the field,
you'd take the Saints.
You would have better odds, mm-hmm. but I would not feel terrible about my bet because the Saints have a defense, they have a run game, they have a franchise quarterback, and they have a tremendous home field advantage.
I was going to say, that last point that you made there is the one that matters the most. They are a case study in what home field can
be. And they only need to win one more game to get home field throughout the NFC playoffs. They've got the best record in the NFL right now at 12-2. If they beat Carolina at home, and Cam Newton might not even play in that game, If they win that game in week 17, 13-3, they win the tiebreaker with the Rams because they beat them head-to-head, and the Super Bowl goes through New Orleans, and I don't see anybody who's equipped to go in there and beat them with the way their defense is playing right now.
How many teams have run over for over 100 yards on them this year, if you had to guess? They've played 14 games. How many times have they allowed more than 100 yards rushing?
I don't think it happened in week one with Tampa.
It did?
Really?
112.
Who did it? Peyton Barber?
I think it was Fitzpatrick actually making a little couple scramble plays. I think Adam Humphries had a couple.
Oh, you mean combined?
I'm talking combined rushing yards for a team.
But there wasn't a 100-yard rusher against him.
No, Peyton Barber had 70 yards. He was okay. He was average at best. My point is this. They have allowed 100 yards rushing for a team three times this year. Their record, and Tampa is responsible for two of them, which is insane. The Bengals are the other one. They only beat the Bengals 51-14.
I'm jealous of them for this reason. They went out in last year's draft, and every guy they picked turned into a contributor, mostly on the defensive side of the ball, which is what they clearly needed. And this year, they made that Eli Apple trade.
And he's got new life.
Which is
down
what
there.
he makes an interception in the end zone last night. He held Funchess without a catch.
They had last year the draft that is the modern day poor man's equivalent of that Steelers 74 draft where you just feel
Hall of Famers, but yes, I mean, get your point.
You've got Kamara was Lattimore was last year. Although they're okay. So here's my bottom line point. They've done a lot of good things. I really have a hard time arguing with you that they aren't the best team in football because in their home building they are. You know what this game is for me more than anything else? I've had my thoughts crystallize. It's a Ben Roethlisberger prove it to me game. Prove that you can go in knowing you have to probably outscore the other guy. Because he didn't against the Patriots. That's sort of the hidden story. It was stunningly impressive that the Steelers did what they did, getting only 17. This is a game where seven's got to go in and put up a ton of sixes. You've got to score touchdowns down there.
You know what I think it's actually more about? I'm not going to say that that's a... I feel like that's almost a given that when you're facing another all-time quarterback, you can't have a wishy-washy
But he's been a pretty wishy-washy player lately, the last several weeks.
I think if this defense is really more than a mirage and a one-hit wonder, you hold Brady on the road to 10 points. Two other teams have done that this year. Let's see what you do against the Saints offense. Then you will have people, if they hold the Saints under 20 points, then you'll have people talking that you're for real on that side
of the
ball.
Are you going, now they could hold them under 20 points and theoretically lose because New Orleans defense is really good. Are you suggesting, though, what I think you're suggesting here, which is that the concept of a moral victory might be in play?
Yes.
See, I think it goes out the window for one reason, or in one scenario. If the Baltimore Ravens win the night before, there's no moral victory here. It almost become not a must win because I think the Browns are a live wire in week 17 for Baltimore. Baltimore beats the Chargers, though. The concept of looking at it as a fan from a moral victory standpoint is gone. It's done because now you're really up against
it. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that because if the Ravens win, the Steelers are not going to make the playoffs
without
as a wild card team at 9-6-1.
If the Ravens win,
they would need the Ravens to come back and lose to Cleveland at home.
If the Ravens win, you have to keep winning to control your own destiny, or else you need week 17 help. You're going to beat Jeff Driskel. That's wonderful. I don't know if I can go moral victories here. I'd love to. And if Baltimore loses, then you can recalibrate your focus on this game. But this has to be a game where the Steelers go in there and look, and Steelers fans need to go in with the standard of, we just beat the Patriots. We have to find a way. This team has to find a way to beat the Saints.
I've done a very good job of giving people accurate information on these Steelers games this year. I'm telling you right now, this is a very big uphill battle for them. My expectation is that they're going to get blown out down there.
I have no confidence in their ability to stop New Orleans running the football. And I have, what I want to see is, do you have a way, if you're Mike Tomlin, if you're Keith Butler, if you're Tom Bradley, to take away Michael Thomas, to take away Kamara in the passing game? I want to see the Steelers' defense at least make New Orleans one-dimensional. Whatever dimension you force them into, they're pretty damn good at it. Make them beat you by grinding out a win where they run the ball on you. Make them beat you because they can't run the ball and they have to start throwing it a ton. Make them look like something other than a team that is dictating terms throughout the course of this game.
The Panthers held the Saints to 12 points last night, so the question becomes, are the Steelers catching the Saints at the right time? What are your expectations going into this game against New Orleans? Are you expecting a win? Are you hoping for just a close game? Do you think they're going to get blown out by the best team in the NFL?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.